Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today we're going to address one of the most important questions people have when contemplating the work camping lifestyle. Can we get health insurance and medical services on the road? The answer is yes, and my guest will explain how to do that. Today's show is sponsored by the Small Business RVer School. This new course from Work Camper is designed specifically for entrepreneurs on the move and helps you build a business you can run anytime from anywhere. The self-directed course helps you be your own boss while reducing stress and saving on taxes. Through a series of online videos and monthly calls, you are taught the steps necessary to build and manage a successful mobile business. Life is too short, so choose what you want to do, when you want to do it, by starting a business of your own. For more information, visit www.smallbizrver.com. Where to get health insurance is one of the biggest questions many people have as they contemplate embracing the RV lifestyle. Many times it is the stumbling block holding people back from pursuing their dream of full-time travel. That's not surprising considering the games people have had to play to get or keep insurance over the years. At one time or another, most of us have been caught having to pay out-of-network medical care, meaning we were in a situation where we had to see a doctor but were away from our regular provider and paid a hefty price for that care. For others, health insurance is simply too expensive, a luxury retained by full-time employees, not self-employed business owners. The good news is that there is now truly affordable options for people who travel, especially self-employed RVers. Kyle Henson is a full-time RVer who traveled with his wife and 13-year-old daughter since 2011. He had already been working online in the insurance industry when they decided to take their first trip. The family enjoyed the experience so much, they made a full-time commitment to the RV lifestyle. However, while on the road, Kyle discovered a pressing need among RVers, especially those who traded in sticks and bricks home for one on wheels. The couple formed Nomad Insurance Group to connect RVers to insurance companies that realized the challenges RVers face in finding healthcare on the road. The firm has since expanded insurance options to include backpackers and world travelers as well. The company focuses exclusively on health insurance programs that provide nationwide coverage that is not location dependent in confining people to specific doctors in specific areas. Kyle explains that RVers have several truly affordable insurance options at their disposal. To describe what those options are and what they entail, please welcome Kyle Henson with Nomad Insurance Group to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Kyle. I appreciate it. Please tell us a little bit about your family and the type of RV you're using.
Hey, Greg. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm a family of three. My wife and 13-year-old daughter have been full-time RVing since 2011.
Okay.
We full-time in a 43-foot mobile suite, so we've selected that because it has two rooms. It's got our bedroom in the front, and our daughter has her own bedroom in the rear of the RV. And we liked it so much, we have kept that same rig for the entire 10 years on the road and just ordered another one for the next 10 years. So we're recommitting to the lifestyle.
Oh, my goodness. So 10 more years on the road. That's great.
Well, yeah, who knows? Could be less.
That's right.
Could be more. We expect when we buy an RV, it'll last 10 years. That's about the life of it, especially with we're pretty hard on it. We're on the move quite a bit. We've been all over the place, coast to coast, borders to borders. And you asked what attracted me to the full timing as well. In 2010, we decided we were going to buy a motorhome just to do some weekend stuff. And I found this motorhome in California online. I was living in Delaware at the time. We decided, well, why don't we just fly out, buy it, and drive it back? So we did that. We took 6 weeks to do it. really wow. took our time and enjoyed that trip. And, you know, I'd already been working online in the insurance industry, and I was able to maintain that business while we were traveling that 6 weeks. And we got home and we both said, man, that was a lot of fun. I wonder if we could do that full time. And so we got to researching it. And a year and a half later, we had sold that motorhome, bought this fifth wheel, and that's history.
The rest is history. Well, you mentioned that you have been doing this for a while, the insurance kind of thing. So how'd you come up with the idea of this Nomad Insurance Group?
Yeah, came up with the idea back in 2014 after we'd been on the road for a few years and saw what a huge need there was in the full-time RV community for somebody that knew the lifestyle as well as knew the health insurance industry. Because it's a really difficult hurdle for a lot of RVers to get into this lifestyle is figuring out the health insurance. And then with the Affordable Care Act, that just blew everything up even more, made it even more difficult for people, for various reasons. So yeah, I just saw the need and started a website, actually sold that website in 2017 and took some time off and did some long trip backpacking, and then just relaunched Nomad Insurance Group this year, and kind of spreading out a little bit and reaching out to other types of nomads that I connect with, such as world travelers and backpackers and that type of thing as well.
Okay. So is the original website gone then? I mean, did the company that bought it from you, did they fold? So, all right. Very good.
No, they're still up and running. Yep.
They're still up and running.
I just do a little bit of a, they're still up and running.
All right. What kind of insurance plans do you offer?
Well, all health insurance. That's all I do is health insurance. And I offer that to people of all ages, Medicare or not. For people on Medicare, they generally either go with a Medicare supplement or a Medicare Advantage plan. I offer both of those. The main thing that I offer and what I focus on is plans that cover people nationwide. So Medicare supplements are great for that because you can use them nationwide. Medicare Advantage plans historically have not been good for that because they have usually HMO or regional PPO networks. But that's changed a bit, and I now have some nationwide Medicare Advantage plans as well. For the non-Medicare folks, I have a myriad of options from fixed benefit plans to short-term medical plans to tri-term, which is basically a three-year short-term medical plan, plans specifically for self-employed business owners who are traveling, and medical cost-sharing plans as well, all of which the focus is providing nationwide coverage for RVers and other nomads.
Well, that's cool. So by cost sharing, is that something like a bill sharing service where you just submit your bill and you might have a deduction, but then the rest of it is covered?
Kind of. I mean, medical cost sharing was started back in the 80s as ministry health plans. So you may have heard of like Christian health share plans, Samaritan health plans, those types of things. That's how they got their start in the 80s. And then they became more popular with the Affordable Care Act because it was a low-cost alternative to health insurance. That's what made them very popular. And then the non-ministry medical cost share plans became available. And that's what I offer is the ones that are not ministry-based, so they're open to anybody. But yeah, basically you belong to a co-op community of people who pay a membership fee, and all those membership fees are held in a trust, and then you can submit your medical claims for eligible sharing. It works very much like insurance. They just don't use insurance language. Mm-hmm. Legally, they cannot because they're not an insurance company.
Okay. So what is the big...
There's no insurance companies to deal with. There's no red tape. It's a simple process, and it's therefore lower cost too. But it's got some risk inherent in it because it's not insurance, therefore not backed by the state insurance departments.
Okay. That's something that I have used personally for a number of years and have had no problem with it. Received great service. Cool. But what is the difference then? You had mentioned some risks between the health sharing and regular insurance. Can you kind of go into what those risks might be?
Well, the risk with medical cost sharing is really that it's a trust thing, frankly. You're trusting that the money, the membership fees that you pay every month, you're trusting that that money is going to be there and that they're going to follow through on their promise to actually share your medical expenses. But what's different between that and insurance, when you sign up for an insurance policy, that's a contract. That's an agreement to pay. It's a contract to pay by the insurance company. Mm-hmm. And if they don't pay, you can go to the insurance department, the insurance commissioner in your state, file a complaint, and you know you have recourse there. But with medical cost sharing, you really don't have any recourse if they just decide not to pay it or they go belly up. So that's really the risk involved with medical cost sharing.
Okay. Because I know that some...
That's why it's a fraction of the cost too.
Right. Exactly. Some insurance companies, you know, they seem to find ways to deny claims and things like that too. So I would imagine that there's some risk involved with that too, right?
Well, I mean, that's a tough one to answer, Greg. I don't really know that the risk is there as far as insurance companies being able to deny claims, unless there's specific exclusions in their policies. Mm-hmm. They really don't have that kind of freedom to just deny claims. You know, a lot of people do not read the exclusions and limitations in their health insurance policies. And so they might think that an insurance company is denying a claim just because they want to. But a lot of times those limitations and exclusions do lead to claim denials. And, you know, insurance companies get a bad rap because of that. But they can't cherry pick claims. If they're going to pay a specific type of claim, they have to pay that for everybody. They can't, you know, like I said, they can't cherry pick what things are going to cover and not cover.
Well,
they would be in deep trouble with the insurance commissioner if they did that.
That's a good point, then. It's very important for people who have a medical insurance policy to look at it and understand what the exclusions are right up front before they get to a point where they might need that coverage.
Yeah, particularly for travelers, because there's specific exclusions and limitations if you're not in the network.
Mm-hmm.
If you're outside of your plan's network, then you're going to have more limitations and more exclusions and higher out-of-pocket costs.
So these tri-term plans then are short-term, like 3 years, you said? But they act just like regular insurance company that you might have at home?
Yeah, so a tri-term plan is basically a major medical short-term plan, but you can keep it for up to 3 years. Short-term medical, people were using short-term medical quite a bit when the Affordable Care Act was implemented because, again, it was a way to get nationwide coverage. The short-term plans have national networks. But the problem is all the states started implementing these limitations on short-term. They said you can only have it for 60 or 90 days, a lot of them. And some states like California and Washington just outlawed short-term medical plans. So, but then that all changed a little bit. Some of the laws loosened up and then short-term came back even stronger around 2018. In 2019, those short-term medical laws loosened up. And that's when the tri-term plans were launched by United Healthcare that basically give you nationwide coverage, and it's a pretty typical major medical plan with a deductible and co-insurance. And it's pretty comprehensive coverage as well.
Well, that's neat. That's a very good benefit or opportunity for RVers, I would imagine.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the downside to any of these plans that aren't on the Affordable Care Act is that they're all medically underwritten. So they're going to ask health questions and they can turn people down because they don't fall under the rules of the Affordable Care Act.
Okay.
So you do have to qualify. You do have to be relatively healthy to get any of the plans that we offer, except for the Affordable Care Act plans and medical cost sharing. The medical cost sharing plans we offer, they don't turn anybody down.
Okay. Is there a best plan for single RVers or couples or families?
Not really, Greg, because I wouldn't categorize plans as better for singles, couples, or families, because it really depends on what the single, couple, or family is looking for. I categorize plans based on higher benefits, lower premium, categorizing them based on what the insured member is looking for, as opposed to single, couple, or families. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. So if I've got some money in the bank and I can afford to pay a little higher deductible, I can get my insurance costs to come down a little bit. But if I need to save that money up front, then I'll have to or save the money for the big expense, I would have to get a policy that will have a little lower deductible and cover more things right up front.
Yeah, exactly. And then pre-existing conditions, you know, if there's a large family, pre-existing medical conditions might be a bigger problem. There might, you know, if there's a family of six, chances are there's somebody in that family that has a pre-existing medical condition. And if we're trying to insure the whole family, then we might be limited on the options available based on pre-existing medical conditions.
Well, speaking of that, then, is it possible to get an insurance plan for five of the six family members and then a separate insurance policy for the sixth?
Absolutely. Yep. I have quite a few people that have had to do that. Most of the family on a family plan, and then just put one individual on a different type of plan. Sure.
Okay.
That's available.
Now, you mentioned that these are nationwide plans. So does that mean that you can basically pick your doctor or your facility that you're going to visit?
It depends. Some of the plans have a network, but it's a very broad network. And as long as you stay in that network, then you're covered. Some plans have that network, but you're not required to use the network. But if you do use the network, you get the network discounts. So it's advantageous to use the network. And then other plans like the medical cost share plans don't have any network because they're not insurance. So you really can use them anywhere. But yeah, all of them do provide some level of nationwide protection. These are networks that are utilized by dozens of different insurance companies. So for example, one of the bigger, more popular networks is called the Multiplan Network. And so a lot of different insurance companies will contract with the Multiplan Network to negotiate rates for their insured members, and then the members have access to that network and lower costs. But no, as an insurance broker, I have nothing to do with negotiating with networks or partnering with networks at all.
Okay.
So, what I do is I just go out and find plans that give nomads the freedom that we need to go to travel and still have a way to get healthcare on the road. That's what I do, is find those plans that work for us.
I know some of the health insurance plans that people have are very prohibitive. If you get caught traveling and you need medical care, you're paying through the nose for out-of-network kind of things, but these plans don't have that kind of penalty?
Yeah, particularly the ACA plans under the Affordable Care Act are mostly HMO plans now. That's how insurance companies have been able to keep their costs down, is by limiting network access. So yes, if you go out of network with those plans, it can be, you can have zero coverage or you can have very little coverage.
Mm-hmm.
With all the plans that I offer, you don't have to worry about that. You either have a nationwide network or you don't have a network to worry about.
Okay. And so by nationwide network, this network is big enough that you literally can be in all 49 states that you can travel with an RV and find a doctor, a clinic, or a hospital?
Yes.
Oh, that's neat. Glad that they make that available now. You know, sometimes full-time RVers, they're in a quandary because if they get into a situation with a major illness or an accident or something to that effect, then they need long-term care. For example, the driver of the rig breaks his leg. Now he can't drive anywhere. Is there any kind of policy or plan or coverage that people can get to help them out in situations like that?
Well, when people use the words long-term care, that generally means somebody's in a facility. That usually means custodial care.
Okay.
But I think you're referring to more like accident insurance or even short-term disability insurance. Is that correct, Greg?
That sounds more like it, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you certainly can buy an accident policy to supplement a health plan. Like if you have a high deductible health plan, say a $6,000 deductible, you know, if you have an accident, you could end up coming out of pocket several thousand dollars because you don't have the deductible met. But so what a lot of people will do is buy an accident policy, which may have a $50 or $100 deductible, and it's designed to pay for, you know, those smaller items like you're talking about. And then there's also disability insurance, which, yes, is designed to replace income if you need it due to a medical situation. Those are also available. Those are really, really open access, so you don't have to worry about networks at all with those types of plans. Because if you're buying an accident policy, you're buying it for an emergency. And I probably should have mentioned this when you asked about networks. Even if your plan is an HMO and doesn't have a nationwide network, generally they allow some emergency coverage as well.
Okay. So
and they would pay it as if you were in the network.
So if you do get into an accident and you get hurt out of state, you'll still be covered to some degree just because they've got this in there. They realize that, you know, things happen. But if you get the sniffles and you need to see a doctor and you're from Wisconsin and you're out in Arizona, you're going to pay for that.
Yeah. So emergency is generally defined as at risk of losing life or limb. Generally, any insurance policy you have will provide coverage for that no matter where you are in the U.S. But for your scenario of, let's say you're across the country in an HMO plan and you get the sniffles and you want, you know, a diagnosis and antibiotics or something, we recommend telemedicine for that because that gives you 24-hour access to a doctor on your phone or your smartphone or computer video. And you can get a diagnosis for minor things, and they'll order a prescription to your nearest location as well.
That's really exploded in the last couple of years. Can you tell us a little bit more about how telemedicine works?
Yeah, it really has taken off. Particularly this year due to COVID, trying to keep people out of offices, it's really taken off. But even before that, I started offering it probably 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, the way it works is you generally pay a monthly fee somewhere between $15 and $20 for a household. And then you get a smartphone app. We like the Teladoc one. That's the one we offer. Teladoc is the largest telemedicine provider in the country. You're given a profile where you can upload all of your medical records. And so whenever you want to book an appointment, you can simply do it through the app or call the 800 number, type in or tell them on the phone your symptoms, and then within 20 minutes, you get a call back from a U.S. board-certified doctor who will have a conversation with you and come up with a diagnosis if possible and prescription if needed.
And if you
and
need,
you get unlimited access to doctor visits with that.
Well, that's neat. But if the doctor says we'd really like to get a blood test for this, they can send you to somebody nearby where you're located and get that taken care of.
Yeah, they could do that. I mean, telemedicine really is designed for you know, 70% of office visits can be handled via telemedicine, according to physicians. And so it's designed for those types of visits where you suspect you have the flu or urinary tract infection or an ear infection, those things that doctors can easily diagnose without having to see the patient and don't need blood work. But obviously it's not designed for maintenance. Like if somebody's got high blood pressure or high cholesterol and they're on a regular maintenance prescription, it's not designed for that. It's designed for those short-term, easy to diagnose things. But yeah, if somebody needs something more extensive, the doctor, the teledoc doctor is going to say, we recommend you go have some blood work and see somebody in person.
Are the plans that you sell, do they include a telemedicine kind of option or feature in all of them?
Yeah, a lot of them are starting to offer that as a free value-added benefit on the health plans. Indeed, yeah, there's, I think, 3 out of the 5 plans we offer for individuals and families are including it now.
Okay.
Without paying extra. Yeah.
Now, is the state in which an RVer selects as a domicile, is that going to make a difference in what they're going to pay for rates and premiums?
Yes. Yeah, it's going to make a difference in a lot of things, Greg. It's going to make a difference on what plans are available. It's going to make a difference on what they'll pay on those plans as well. So, yeah, it really does impact your insurance.
Are there some states?
There's some states that Sorry, go ahead, Ness.
Are there some states that are better than others for this kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah, so, for example, California and Washington and some of the Northeast states like New York are really difficult to find a plan because they've got some state laws in place where just some plans you're not able to offer. Or the red tape is too much and the insurance companies don't want to deal with filing for approval in that state. And so, yeah, there's definitely states, you know, for RVers, we all know that South Dakota, Florida, and Texas are the 3 most popular for domiciling. All 3 of those are perfect for people on Medicare. But if you're not on Medicare, South Dakota is not ideal. There are very limited options in South Dakota for people not on Medicare. Florida is very good, and Texas is very good. If you qualify for a subsidy with the Affordable Care Act, Florida's best because Florida Blue still allows you to use the National Blue Cross Network when you're not traveling in or when you're traveling outside of Florida.
Okay. Is there anything that can be done to make these health insurance and these kind of costs more affordable?
Well, that's a very loaded question.
I know.
I mean, I have my opinions on what can be done. But what I guess the best way to answer that, Greg, is to look at what has changed to make insurance go up so much like it has in the past 5 years. I mean, a lot of people are just completely priced out of ACA plans because they don't qualify for a subsidy. You know, a family of 4 in their 40s, let's say the parents are in their 40s and they have 2 kids, to get an ACA plan in Texas or Florida is $1,500 to $2,000 a month if you don't get a subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact of the matter is what's caused that, and it's the same reason that we don't see PPO plans very much on the ACA, is that for better or worse, requiring insurance companies to insure everybody with pre-existing conditions, the fact of the matter is that has caused rates to go up significantly. And, you know, we can discuss the merits of that and the philosophy behind if that's the right thing to do or not, but that really has driven the price up quite a bit. But that also has created some competition off the ACA. So it's allowed some of the insurance companies come up with alternatives, some like the tri-term or fixed benefit plan. They've become more popular because of that. But ways to get the cost down is less bureaucracy. That's just look at the medical cost sharing as proof of that. The reason medical cost sharing is so much less expensive is because there's just not a lot of red tape and bureaucracy involved in it.
Right. But the downside to that is you have to take a greater or play a greater role in processing your medical claims and seeking discounts from the providers and things like that. And some people just don't want to mess with that. They just want to turn in a bill and be done with it.
Yeah. And when you ask the question, how can you make it more affordable? I was thinking more on a national scale, but on an individual basis, the ways you can make it more affordable for yourself are simply to assume a little more of the risk.
Okay.
Whether that means take a higher deductible or take a fixed benefit plan, which is going to be limited in how much it will pay. There are things that we can do as individuals to lower our costs. And, you know, basically it means you're taking on a little more risk though.
Can you give some fictitious examples of what families and singles might pay for health insurance plans? Or is it just this, there's so many myriad options involved in this and things to influence that you really can't tell somebody that unless you're talking to them about their specifics?
Yeah, that really is difficult to do because of, you know, pre-existing medical, because of the state, because of income, age. There's so many factors that would be really difficult to do. I don't think it would serve anybody to do that, because if I put a number out there for a family of four in Florida and there's a family of four in Texas, it might be 50% cheaper. I mean, I would say is that from a cost basis, medical cost sharing is going to be the lowest. Fixed benefit will be the second lowest. The self-employed plans we have, tri-term plans, and the ACA plans without a subsidy, we're all pretty close together. Okay.
What's all involved in the self-employed plan? I haven't heard of any of those lately.
Yeah, we have access through a union group in the state of New York that has about 70,000 members, and we are able to offer plans to individuals and families who are self-employed business owners by joining them with an association, a trade association related to their industry. And by doing that, we have access to ACA compliant group health insurance plans. Still medically underwritten, you still have to answer health questions. But if you can get approved, if you're self-employed, they're very good coverage. They're nationwide coverage through either the Cigna or Blue Cross Network, whichever one you choose. And like I said, it's comprehensive coverage and it's nationwide coverage. If I could put everybody on one of those plans, I would love to do that because it really is the best coverage out there outside of ACA.
You are affiliated with WorkCamper in some way. Do the members get some sort of perks by working with Nomad Insurance?
The perk is the service that they get working with me, somebody who knows the industry, both the insurance industry as well as the RV community and the lifestyle. As far as discounts, if I could discount everybody's health insurance, I'd do it in a heartbeat, Greg.
I bet.
I don't have that kind of a pull, unfortunately, in the insurance industry. So all I can do is present the options that are available. The pricing can't be impacted by the insurance either for or against at all. I can't charge more. I can't charge less for the insurance policies that people choose. My role really is as an educator and a provider of service when people enroll.
I just wondered if people were tapping into the work camper organization, like as an association, if better rates can be obtained because there are so many people who are potentially part of that group.
Yeah, that's something that I have, I keep revisiting and revisiting, but the laws keep changing. I would love to see the day when we can come together as a community of RVers and create an association plan of our own based on this common interest of full-time travel. It almost became available last year. Senator Rand Paul was pushing that through, but it didn't go. And so now the only way you can get a plan like that is if there's an association via work. So if everybody was employed by Work Camper News, then that would be something we could explore.
Okay.
But I don't see Work Camper News doing that.
It sounds like people really need to talk to you to find out what their options are. So how can people do that?
Yeah, the best way is to go to nomadinsurancegroup.com. You can book a consultation with me. It's always free. Right on the website, you can just send me a message through the website. And my phone number is on there as well. They can certainly give me a call. But yeah, straight through the website is the best way to reach me. The website's a good place to start because there's a lot of information that you can learn just by perusing the website.
Okay. And filling out an application then is something that can all be done electronically?
Yeah, most companies have streamlined all of that. All the application is online.
Super. Well, this has been great information, Kyle. I appreciate it. And I hope people take the time to look up your company and see what their options are.
Yeah, I appreciate the time, Greg. And I hope that the website's a great resource for people to start with. And then if they want to reach out to me for a deeper dive into it, I'm always available.
This was a great discussion with Kyle Henson, the founder of Nomad Insurance Group, about the options RVers have for getting health insurance on the road. He took some of the mystery out of navigating the Medicare system and the options that retired people have for getting coverage and service through it. The short-term insurance options he described are ideal for people who want that nationwide coverage when traveling for a few months. Options with deductibles and copays mean that a plan can be customized for any budget. It's for that reason that some people like fixed benefit health plans. Using a schedule of payments, they know exactly how much money they'll pay toward their doctor's visit, hospital stay, prescription, surgery, etc. Many folks enroll in fixed benefit plans to offset costs with a different comprehensive plan. People who own their own businesses can tap into a nationwide insurance coverage and benefits offered to members of a large union group. The plans offer a nationwide network of preferred providers, so it's possible to get coverage in any state. With telemedicine gaining in popularity, Nomad Insurance Group offers the options to talk to a doctor or nurse around the clock without ever going into a clinic or urgent care center. Kyle is happy to talk to RVers by phone or during an online meeting to outline available options and their related costs. To set up a free one-hour consultation, call 302-943-0318 or email hello@nomadinsurancegroup.com. Appointments are available from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Time, Monday through Friday. Some weekend appointments may be available as well. For more information about Nomad Insurance Group or related healthcare options, visit www.nomadinsurancegroup.com. If you're just exploring the RV lifestyle and work camping options, consider enrolling in The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started with the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For a monthly subscription fee, Dreamers can participate in two online events every week to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, where to call home, and how to find a job or start a mobile business. All online events will be recorded for watching anytime. Dreamers can also join an open question and answer session each month. There's no wrong time to get started. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvpa.com. That's all we have for this week's show. Next time, I'll be talking to a man who trains dogs for a living and is planning to use his RV to make his business mobile. I'll have that for you next week on The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.